The sky was a deep indigo, without any cloud. Another gorgeous, balmy day. If not in paradise, then as close as she would ever see. But the sunshine panorama left her unmoved. Latin was a name which carried too many adolescent fear images with it. Her political instinct was telling her this wasn't a crisis that would blow over in the night. Not this one. That same political instinct which had kept the Saldana family securely on their various thrones for 400 years. The children's nanny brought her excitable charges out of the nursery, and Kirsten managed to smile and kiss them all and make a fuss. Edward lifted little Benedict into his lap while she seated Emmeline next to her own chair. Zandra sat at her place and reached eagerly for the jug of Dawes juice. "Grace first?" Kirsten admonished. "Oh, Mummy!" "Grace!" Zandra sighed woundedly, clasped her hands together and moved her lips. "Now can I eat?" "Yes, but don't bolt it." She signalled one of the four attendant footmen to bring her her own tea and toast. Edward was feeding Benedict slim slices of bread along with his boiled egg. "Is the news still all Latin?" he asked over Emmeline's head. "Yes," Kirsten said. He pulled a sympathetic face and dangled another bread soldier in front of a cheerful Benedict. They had been married 40 years. A good marriage, by any reasonable standards, let alone an institution as odd as a royal marriage. Edward was old money, titled as well, and an ex-navy officer who had served with some distinction. He was also geneered, which was a big plus. The court liked matches with the same range of life expectancy. It made things tidy. They hadn't been quite pushed into it by the family, but the pressure had been there for someone like him. All the senior Saldanas displayed for public consumption the Christian monogamy ideal. Divorce was, of course, out of the question. Alistair was head of Kulu's church, defender of the faith throughout the kingdom. Royalty didn't break the commandments, not publicly. However, she and Edward enjoyed a relationship of mutual respect and trust, and even considerable fondness. Maybe love had been there too at the start of it, 40 years ago. But what they had now was enough to carry them through the next century together without bitterness and regret, which was an achievement in itself. When she thought of her brother Claude's marriage... "Mummy's thinking again," Emmeline announced loudly. Kirsten grinned. "Thinking what to do with you."
"What?"
Emmeline squealed. "Depends what you've done wrong."
"Nothing. Ask Nanny. I've been good all day."
"She pinched Rosie Oldermere's swimming towel yesterday," Zandra said. Emmeline burst into giggles.
"You said you wouldn't tell." "It was so funny. Miss Eastry had to lend Rosie hers. She was shivering all over."
"Her skin was turning blue," Emmeline said proudly.
"Who's Latton?"
Zandra asked. "A bad man," Edward said.
"Is he on Ombe?"
"No," Kirsten said. "Now eat your rice chips." Her neural mnemonics gave a silent chime, which warned her from the start it was going to be bad news. Her equerry would never allow a datavised message through unless it was serious, not at breakfast. She accessed the Defense and Security Council data package. "Trouble," she said resentfully. Edward glanced over as she rose. "I'll help them get ready for the day club," he said.
"Thanks."
He was a good man. She walked through the private apartments and emerged into the wide marbled corridor which led to the cabinet offices, drawing startled looks and hurried bows from staff who were in early. She was still dressed in her turquoise and grey rising robe. The official reception room was a decagonal chamber with a vaulting roof that dripped chandeliers. A horizontal sheet of sunlight was pouring in through a ring of azure windows halfway up the walls. Pillars were inlaid with gold and platinum under a low-friction gloss, which kept the metal permanently agleam. Hollow prints of impossibly violent stellar events alternated with oil paintings around the walls. There were no modern dream phase or mood effusion works. The Saldanas always favoured antiquity for the intimation of timeless dignity it gave. Three people were waiting for her in the middle of the black tushwood tile floor. Sylvester Jerry was at their head. Her equerry, a 36-year-old captain wearing his Royal Kulu Navy dress uniform.